إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. Now, brothers and sisters, we are looking at the five pieces of advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave and which Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu recorded. We looked at two of them. The first one was where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, be careful with the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Be careful with what Allah has made haram. Do not indulge in what Allah has made haram, and you will be an abid. You will be the most pious of people. And the second one is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, be satisfied with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be satisfied with the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be the most ghani of the people. You will be the one without any stress. You will be the one without any desires, and you will be free from want. The third piece of advice which Rasulullah ﷺ gave was, he said, do ihsan with your neighbors. Do ihsan with your neighbors, and you will be a mu'min. Please notice, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying do adl with the neighbors, do justice with the neighbors. He's talking about something beyond justice, more than justice. Justice you have to do anyway. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, he said, there are many hadiths about the rights of neighbors. In one of them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a Muslim is one, he actually said, he is not a Muslim. He is not a Muslim. He is not a Muslim. He said, Ya Rasulullah, who is not a Muslim? He said, the one from whose tongue and his hand his neighbors are not safe. He said, he is not a Muslim. He said it three times. He is not a Muslim. He said, Ya Rasulullah, who is not a Muslim? Who are you talking about? You are cursing somebody. You are saying somebody is not a Muslim. Right? Who is this person? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one from whose tongue and whose hand his neighbor is not safe. And please understand, many times when we read the translation of the hadith, for some reason, I don't know why, many people translate this and they say, from the one whose Muslim neighbor is safe. Go to the Arabic. I don't know why they do this. This is an absolute disservice, and this is distortion of the hadith. Read the Arabic. Read the actual words of Rasulullah. He did not say Muslim neighbor. He's a neighbor. Now you might say, well, you know, he did not say Muslim neighbor because all neighbors were Muslim. That's not true. That is not true. In Makkah, practically every neighbor was non-Muslim. In Medina, there were still many people who were not Muslim and they were living in Medina. There was no rule to say that only Muslims can live in Medina, no. He said neighbor specifically. And even if you were in a situation where all the neighbors are Muslim, even in such a situation, when you look at the words of the Nabi alayhi salam are not restricted to Medina. His words are for the whole world until the day of judgment. And his words are defined and given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives, like these pieces of advice, these are wahi from Allah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him and told him to tell. This is not, he's not speaking of his own volition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. In Surah Al-Najm, Allah said he does not speak of his own desire. He speaks what he has been told to speak. He speaks what wahi has been sent to him. So if the Rasul is saying neighbor, then he means neighbor. He does not mean Muslim neighbor, Hindu neighbor, Christian neighbor, Sikh neighbor, atheist neighbor, agnostic neighbor. No. He means neighbor. Meaning what? Whoever that neighbor is. Today we have people ask this question, are we allowed to go to the houses of non-Muslims? Are we allowed to make friends with non-Muslims? If that rule was applied in Makkah, that Muslims must only meet Muslims, then there would not have been a single conversion. Not one person would have accepted Islam. Because no, you don't know. You are not meeting anybody. Sahaba went to different places, including India. When they came first, how many people came? One person, two people, five people, 10 people. That's it. So at that time, you say, number of Muslims in this country? 4 people. Then the whole country became Muslim. That whole community became Muslim. So Rasulullah is saying, do ihsan with your neighbor. What is ihsan? Adal is justice. Meaning, you do good to me, I do good to you. This is justice. Alhamdulillah. But ihsan is more than that. Ihsan is, even when you do injustice to me, I still do justice to you. I owe you 10, but I give you 20. I don't need to give you anything, but I still give it. I go out of my way. I put myself to trouble. I put myself to pain. I put myself to suffering. I spend money. I do for your sake. This is ihsan. This is ihsan. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ يَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. What is before the, what is that? مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Yeah, Surah Al-Insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that who are these people? He said these are people who, even though they need the food, even though they like the food, they give it to the miskeen, to the one who is poor, who needs food. He may not even ask for it, but they go look for him, give it. Wayateem, and to the orphan, and wayasira, to the prisoner. Ihsan to the neighbors. So as I said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is not a Muslim. Ya Rasulullah, who is not a Muslim? The one whose neighbor is not safe from his tongue and from his hand. Your neighbor does something which he should not do. Maybe he does create some nuisance for you. Maybe he does something which you don't like. Right? I'm not saying that what he is doing is right. No, what he is doing is not right. The neighbor should not do that, but he does it. What is your reaction to that? That will determine whether you are a Muslim or not, in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question of social consciousness. Today we live in this world as if we are alone. If you can get away with it, you will make noise, you will create nuisance, you will curse, you will yell, you will scream, you will beat people, you will do all kinds of things, as long as you can get away with it. The day you find somebody who will, you curse him and he sends you to the dentist or to the, you know, to the ICU, or maybe he sends you straight to the graveyard, that's a different issue. Right? But until that point, you will test it out. Believe me, this is not fun. This is serious. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person is not a Muslim. So you decide if you are a Muslim or you are not a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you cannot be a Muslim. Your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. Once again, this hadith is mistranslated. Until you want for your Muslim brother, it does not say that. It says until you want for your brother. And if you say, well, you know, only the Muslims are brothers, no. Muslims are also brothers. People who are not Muslim are also supposed to be considered as brothers and sisters by the Muslims. There is a brotherhood of humanity and there is a brotherhood of community. Just as Muslims we are brothers, but then you have your own personal family to whom you are related by blood, so that person is also a brother. So I have a brother, but you are also my brother. Can I deny that? Can I say, no, I have only one brother? No, I don't. I have one brother, alhamdulillah. But I also have all my Muslim brothers and sisters who are also my brothers and sisters. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. You want peace and harmony in your house, you should want the same in that person's house. You want to eat well, you must want that for the brother also, that he must also eat well. There are so many ahadith about neighbors. A man came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, how do I know if I am a good man? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor. Abdullah bin Mubarak, Rahmatullah Alayhi, the great scholar of Islam, the Imam, he heard that his neighbor, who was a Jewish man, was selling his house. And he also heard, they told him that he is selling his house, but he is quoting a price which is double the market rate. So Abdullah Mubarak went to him and he said, look, why are you selling your house? Have I done something? Am I creating a problem for you? You know, don't you like living next to me? He said, no. He said, I am selling my house because I need money. He said, are you sure I am not anything? He said, no. Why do you think I put double the market rate? He said, why? He said, because you are my neighbor. He said, I am telling to prospective buyers, this is not an ordinary house. This house is the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. So you pay this much for the house and you pay this much for being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. The premium on the house is because of who is my neighbor. Don't we do that if you look at, generally speaking also, you say, which are good neighborhoods? High value neighborhoods, low value neighborhoods. There's a difference between living in Kukatpalli and living in Banjara Hills. But our understanding is very different. It's a dunyavi understanding which actually is a problem. Because if you look at how people live in relatively poorer areas, you will find they are much more connected with each other. There is much more of a sense of community with each other. Whereas you look at the so-called, big addresses, you have big houses with big walls and big gates and security guards and dogs and whatnot, and nobody knows anybody. No one can come. No one is welcome. If you look at a house and say, what is the message I'm getting from this house? The message you're getting from the house is that this is actually a prison. High security prison. Better not go near it. Whereas you go to poorer neighborhoods, houses are open. People care for one another. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are responsible for 70 houses on either side of your house. You are responsible. The problem is today, we don't think, we don't reflect, we don't read. We are living like animals, literally like, we eat and drink and we go to sleep. How does a buffalo live? Exactly the same. Eats and drinks and goes to sleep. If you are living like buffaloes, like animals. What is the meaning of responsible? Means Allah will ask you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you. And if Allah wishes, He will punish you. 70 houses. What is the meaning of 70 houses? Forget 70. Look at one house. Look at one house. Concern for one neighbor. How many of us make dua for our neighbors? How many of us even know the names of our neighbors? Forget neighbors. Let me ask you one question. You don't have to raise your hands. I don't want to embarrass you. How many of you in tahajjud today prayed for your mother and father? Prayed for your grandfather and grandmother? Don't raise your hands. Awlad is supposed to be sadqatul jariya, no?
Are you? Are you Satkat Jaya? You want your children to pray for you or no? You want them to pray for you, no? Mare paas hona nahi hona, avla dua karna bolke. You don't want this? Did you pray? Why do you think they will pray? Why do you think they will pray? Take it from me in writing and keep it. They will not pray for you. They will be sleeping in their beds while you are in your cover, waiting for my son, my daughter will make dua for me. Nothing will come. Nothing will come. The whole day they will be running behind the dunya, and in the night they will exhaust themselves and they will be sleeping in their beds. They will miss their fajr, they will miss their farat, they will forget about tahajjud. What is tahajjud? And you would have stood on your head to bring them up and to do everything for them. Absolutely shameful. But this is our life. You don't even pray for your own parents. You don't even pray for your own grandparents. Thanks to whom you are alive. Thanks to whom you are alive. Yesterday he was taking his little son for inoculations. What happens if he does not take his son for inoculations? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him, give him a good life and so on and so forth. What happens? Maybe he will not even survive for 1 year. Maybe he will get something, he will die. Because parents couldn't care less. And do you think the parents are not like this in the world? Now, son is grown up. One day, who knows who goes first, but somebody will die. And if the father dies, if the mother dies, what's the son doing? Really, I think it is high time we wake up. High time we wake up. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is not a Muslim from whose tongue and his hand his neighbor is not safe. He said, your iman is not complete. You are not a Muslim until you want for your neighbor what you want for yourself. So that's why I'm asking, how many of you made dua for your neighbors? For hidayat for them, for any difficulties they might be in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove those difficulties. This is what Allah sent us for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to make dua for our neighbors. Yes, we curse our neighbors. We curse the Yahud and the Nasara and the Hunud and this one and that one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them. May Allah shattir shamlahum wa dammir diyarahum wa masjid jama'ahum. Oh, okay, fine, alhamdulillah, no problem. Do that. But why not make dua also for their hidayat? Then there will be no need for masjid jama'ahum. Why not make dua for hidayah? Why not make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should open their hearts to his deen? Are we doing that? That's why I asked this question. You don't even make dua for your own parents. Where will you make dua for neighbors? Seriously, time to wake up. Because the day will come when you will need those duas and you will not get them. Because you never did it. And what you did not do, Allah will not get for you. Make no mistake. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be the best neighbors, because this is the best form of da'wah. The best da'wah to Islam is to have a good Muslim as your neighbor. It's not argument, it is not debates, it is not, you know. It is to just have a good Muslim neighbor is the best example and the best da'wah of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to make us the best of neighbors and to make our neighbors the best of neighbors. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with us and never to be displeased, and to enable us to learn from the beautiful life of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallallahu ala nabi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.